Howdy, folks. Welcome to the Ronin Rabbit, a Usagi Yojimbo fan podcast. I am your host, Ed Moore. If you want to get in touch, you can tweet me at Teal Productions. Teal is in the color, T-E-A-L. That is also on Blue Sky. Usagi Yojimbo fan page on Facebook is the place where I post these episodes on Facebook. BigTimeNoise.com/Ronin Rabbit is the website, so the episodes probably appear there first. And usagipodcast@gmail.com is the email address. Now, the book I'm looking at, I have slacked responding to feedback, and I apologize. This is an email I received on March 23rd. Yes, I know. Hey, Ed, I'm at episode 30 and having fun learning about this book. I've seen it around in bookshops a lot, but never really knew what it was about. Hopefully, I'll catch up in a month or so. Look forward to hearing more. Billy D, a.k.a. Doc Strange. Now, Billy, I think, probably is caught up by now. A.k.a. Doc Strange, that's his Twitter handle. You may know, if you listen to podcasts, Billy from, or Doc Strange, from his own shows. A couple come to mind, and Billy, if I missed any, I apologize, let me know, and I'll shout them out when you tell me. One is A World on Fire, an All-Star Squadron podcast. That's a DC property, All-Star Squadron. They just finish up looking at Kingdom Come, a very pivotal, seminal miniseries that DC had out about its characters in an alternate future. He will be continuing, I'm sure, talking about other characters that are connected to the All-Star Squadron team, having already finished up talking about that particular book. Now he's branching out and talking about other characters. Probably, though, his main place is Magazines and Monsters. It is an umbrella that he uses. Brave and the Bob is a show under that umbrella where he talks about Brave and the Bold books shepherded by Mr. Bob Haney, a DC book. The Bronze Age of Horror Comics, mainly focusing on Marvel and DC horror books from the Bronze Age. Bronze Age is, 1970 to roughly the mid-80s, 85, 86, somewhere in there. On the Magazine and Monsters feed, he will also talk about other books that interest him. They may be horror, they may be tangentially horror. Another cool show that he has, though, is Magazines and Monsters. That's the heading, but he talks about a horror movie every month. I particularly enjoy that one because Billy, like myself, has, shall we say, had the opportunity to sample many, many years of TV, movies, comic books. So his interests are very, very similar to mine as far as the time frame that really strikes him the most positively when these things came out, alluding to Bronze Age of Horror Comics. Around that same time, maybe earlier than that, though, for the horror movies. So a lot of the older movies and comic books, obviously, are the things that Billy likes to focus on. He gets the most enjoyment out of. So that's where that is centered. So thanks a lot, Billy. Hopefully, as I said, you're caught up by now and you've enjoyed the journey so far. If not, let me know. I'll see what I can do to help out. Alrighty. Volume number 4, issue number 20 from IDW Comics. The title of the story is Yukichi, and this probably came out on or about June 16th, 2021. Front cover, keep in mind, these IDW books are full color. Unlike the Dark Horse books, they're black and white. The cover, though, for both volumes is full color. And on this one, we have a village in the background. I see one of these in the background, one of these warning towers or fire towers, whatever they turn out to be. I think the first place I ever really ran into this was the movie Yojimbo, maybe? Is that the movie Seven Samurai? I think it was Yojimbo that had this in it for the first time. Might not have been quite this tall. This is very tall. This looks to be probably 4 stories, maybe 5 stories tall. But more importantly, in the foreground, we see Usagi and another character. Now, if you haven't read the book, you don't know this character. If you have read the book, you realize this is Yukichi. They are surrounded by ne'er-do-wells. We see a couple sword tips showing you that they are surrounded nearest us as we're looking at the picture. But then behind them, so they're encircled. Everyone has blades drawn. Usagi is looking to one side. Yukichi is looking kind of at us and over to the side. So they've got everybody covered in case anybody decides to break bad. Inside front cover is the credits written artist, writer, artist, letterer Stan Sakai, colorist to Hi-Fi Design, and then other people related to IDW who I don't want to speak on because I'm not a big fan of the way IDW treated the property. They did pump out a lot of variant covers. Four of them are listed on the inside of this cover here, inside back cover. No, there's probably another four or five. I guess those maybe were store exclusives. There's a second printing variant cover also that went with this. So there's probably like 9 or 10 covers, I believe, that I have seen all told. Now, the book opens, as I said, it is entitled Yukichi, this story. There's about 15-ish panels. The first, not until the fourth, halfway through the fourth page, do we get the first text. All of the other panels are wordless, which is, I think, really cool. And just another reference to the cinematic way that Mr. Sakai views and wants to relay his stories. Really cool. But we see this character from the cover. We don't necessarily know yet, but some clues. The title of the story is Yukichi. You know, to me, even without knowing, that sounds like someone's name. This story, this story so far is going to be focusing on this person as he's journeying. So I'll take a shot in the dark and say, this must be Yukichi. And yes, having read the rest of the book, I now know that it is, just so that you, but that's just between us. Okay. So this gentleman, I believe, is on a journey. And we see him at various stages of the journey, coming down a mountain pass, walking by a fishmonger, about to cross a stream here. And there are, interesting, there are characters just aplenty in different stages and styles of dress, with various traveling and walking accoutrements, parents and children. I see a pineapple here. Ah, pineapple. I haven't been mentioning this for the IDW volume, but the pineapple is important. Or maybe I did mention it a way back. But Mr. Sakai does address the pineapple later on in this issue. So maybe because it's officially addressed, I'll have to try to include my pineapple spying on this. But we see Yukichi walking. He's coming down a path that joins another path that comes in, and the two merge into one larger walkway. And as he's walking, coming down the other path is our protagonist, Miyamoto Usagi. They are now walking alongside each other, and Yukichi glances, you know, just to see who this individual is that's walking, that has walked kind of close, not necessarily invading his space, but you know, if something's going to happen, it's good to know who's around you and where they're at. So he's kind of eyeballing Usagi and looks at him, and then you see a start, an exclamation point, but I don't count that as a word. And he stops and he looks, and then he runs after this individual. "Excuse me, samurai, huh? Are you Miyamoto Usagi?" "Do I know you?" And Usagi gives him this really cute face with the one eye maybe almost closed and the other open, and he tilts his head. Kind of reminds you of a dog when you make a weird noise. It'll perk its ears up, tilt its head, and it'll give you the one eye kind of look. Yeah. "I'm called Yukichi Yamamoto." So this individual and the individual on the cover, we now know, is Yukichi, the namesake of the story. "We met once before, many years ago. It was a brief encounter, but one I will never forget." Now, this is not an encounter that has been elucidated in any of the books yet, but we're going to get a flashback here so we see what happens. "We seem to be going the same way. Let's walk together and you can tell me about it." "I was a novice studying under Swords Master Itsuki," he begins. Now, a little bit about Yukichi. He's brandishing the brace of sword, long and short. He's not a samurai, I don't think. It kind of struck me as curious because I thought only samurai did that or were quote-unquote allowed to. So, I don't know. And on his back, he's got something that seems to be wrapped up and tied down. He's carrying it across his back. It, too, could be a sword, but it also could be a musical instrument. I've seen at this Edo period, there were some long flutes or long woodwind instruments that musicians would carry. Could be a scroll somehow, a large scroll rolled up or something, but it's something like that strapped to his back. So Yukichi continues his story. "It was a beautiful spring day." Too nice to practice in the dojo. I was going through my routine in the garden. We have several panels of him going through perhaps what would be considered a kata with the sword. I know that the physical movements of martial arts are kata when they're practiced this way. I don't know if with a weapon it is. But he is practicing with the wooden sword. Usagi walks in on him. Yukichi says, "Can I help you?" "I am Miyamoto Usagi, and I'm here to pay my respects to Swordsmaster Itsuki." "Is he expecting you, Usagi-san?" Usagi has bowed when he was speaking. Yukichi bows as he speaks here. "No, but I know the reputation of Master Itsuki's school, and since I was in this area..." "Master Itsuki is an important person," he interrupts, "and cannot make time to see every wanderer who drops in. Besides, it is his rest time now." And Usagi continues a little more humbly than what Yukichi is coming across. "Perhaps he will see me after he is rested." "Perhaps. What credentials do you have? A certificate from your sword school, maybe?" "I was trained by a mountain hermit. Katsuichi Sensei gave no certificates. As for credentials..." "What?" He notices Usagi. He's looking up at a tree. And Yukichi says, "Hey, what are you doing?" And Usagi swipes the sword quickly, scabbards it back, picks up a limb, a small twig that he has cut off a tree. He says, "Please, present this to Master Itsuki as my introduction." "What? A twig? Thank you. I'll be at the inn a while. You can find me there." "Yeah, sure, okay." And Usagi, you know, walks on to continue whatever he's doing, presumably to go to the inn and wait. "A twig?" Yukichi says, looking at it. "He must be insane if he thinks I'll give Master Itsuki a twig." "Crazy Ronin," as he throws it over his shoulder. He sets his practice sword and continues with, again, his kata, if that is the correct term. Later, that was a workout. "Your technique is improving, Yukichi." "Thank you, Itsuki-sensei. You have..." And you guys can't see it, but when I said that, I bowed a little bit, because that's what Yukichi's doing. It's kind of funny. "You have learned much despite your youth. In a few years, you may be advanced enough to be an instructor." "That is my hope, sir." "Ah, this garden is beautiful this time of evening." "Yes, sir. Come, walk with me a while, Yukichi." "Yes, sir. Thank you, sir." Looking down on the ground, Itsuki notices that twig. And Yukichi notices him noticing and says, What is it, sir? Where did this come from? Who cut this?" "A vagabond samurai came by a few hours ago, insisting on an interview with you. I brushed him off, as you were too important for the likes of him." "He cut this twig to demonstrate his skill?" "Yes, sir. I thought it was just a twig." "Idiot! Can't you see this was cut by an expert hand? Not a traditional stroke, but proficient nonetheless. Where is he? I must meet him." "He said he'd be in the inn for a while, but that was hours ago. Bring him here." "Yes, sir." And Yukichi runs out with Itsuki standing there inspecting the cut of the twig. And needless to say, of course, or this wouldn't be much of a story, Usagi had already moved on. Yukichi was not able to find him. "I made my best guess as to which way you went, but I never caught up to you. I rose to become the head instructor of the school, but I continued to carry that one regret. In my arrogance, I failed my master. That is why I carry this. This reminds me of my shortcomings, and it's the twig." He shows Usagi. Usagi's surprised. "Perhaps I can visit Itsuki-sensei now." "Thank you for your offer, Usagi-san. Unfortunately, Master Itsuki died last month." "I'm sorry to hear that." "What will you do now, Yukichi-san?" "I am fulfilling my master's last request. I must deliver Master Itsuki's sword to his nephew, Daido-sensei. Daido is my master's only living relative and will be Itsuki-sensei's successor. Daido-sensei already has a school of swordsmanship, though it is not as renowned as his uncle's." "Usagi, I heard Itsuki-sensei was very particular when accepting new students." "Yes, his standards were very high." "That is why I had hoped to meet him. It says much of your character and skills if you were his trusted aide." Usagi is kind of side-eyeing him, and Yukichi is humbly kind of not bowing, but he's head down. "Will you serve Daido-sensei as you served your master?" "If he'll have me. My master's ideals will be difficult to live up to, but I'm sure his nephew would share his same standards." "But you don't know for certain." "No." So they continue on, walking into a village. Usagi says, "Hey, let's stop for a meal. Good idea. I am hungry." And once again, to continue the story, sorry if I'm distracted, my two cats are acting a fool, as they say. Three ne'er-do-well are standing here, kind of As you're walking by an alley, let's say, one side of the alley leaning up against the building are these ne'er-do-well. Inside the inn, innkeeper, a meal for two. Certainly, samurai, sit anywhere you want. And Yukichi, something about Yukichi, he continually has large eyes, whereas Usagi just has his very small dots. And I take that big eye, small mouth kind of concept, although he doesn't have a small mouth per se, but the big eye, I guess, is alluding to the fact that he is younger because he's a rabbit. I don't think I said that. Yukichi's a rabbit just like Usagi is. Looks very similar, as a matter of fact, so they probably are the same species, if we can get that specific, of rabbit. So they sit down to have a meal. The innkeeper serves them tea, and as they're enjoying the tea, what kind of dump is this that you'd allow even the lowest form of riffraff to eat here? Please, sirs, I don't want any trouble. And Yukichi looks up, but Usagi looks up with the question mark balloon. Who are they? He's keeping his eye on them, but he asks Yukichi. Students of the Daikanyaki Sword School. It's a rival school established in this town. Sip. Which we saw Usagi with his sip technique last episode as well, talking about... what was last episode? Volume 3, issue 62 or 63 of the Dark Horse. This is our territory. We didn't give you permission to travel through here. Tough guys like that always make me angry. Yukichi bows his head. I only wish to carry out Master Itsuki's last wish to deliver his sword to his nephew. We want no trouble. Oh yeah? Well, I'll help you. Give me the sword and I'll deliver it for you. Now Yukichi is kind of taking umbrage. I must give it to Daido-san with my own hands. Oh my, you don't trust me. I'm cut to the bone. I'm offended. And the ne'er-do-well backs up and his eyes get all big and kitty-like. The other members of his entourage all laughing. Usagi says, Master Usagi is dead. Show some respect. Who are you to interfere? I'm a friend. Keep out of this, friend, or we'll give you the same beating we're going to give him for disrespecting us. You are the one who has no respect. Why, you... No, please, don't fight in here. You'll destroy my business. The innkeeper is right, Usagi says. If you insist on fighting, let's do it outside. And they get outside, and to their backs is the inn that they were at. A half-circle formed around them are the ne'er-do-wells, now expanded to five. We saw in the alleyway just two or three, just three of them. Now there's five. Swords drawn. Usagi and Yukichi between the half circle and the building. So they're effectively surrounded. I detest bullies, but do not like violence either. Leave now. Let us continue in peace and you won't get hurt. Are you crazy? After you're dead, we'll take Itsuki's swords for ourselves. We'll teach you not to trespass through our town. Yeah! As they charge Usagi. Which... I have to say, they did it correctly because all five charged at the same time. You know, so often in movies and TV, when a group has another group outnumbered, the larger group, the attacking group, always seems to do so in like ones or twos, which is easier to... Everybody attack at one time, and of course you have them outnumbered, they wouldn't stand a chance, but that's typically not what's done. Here, Mr. Sakai does that. Not that it really matters, because Yukichi and Usagi, both with swords still in scabbard, so they are definitely using non-lethal means, quickly subdue these five ne'er-do-well, leaving them coughing and moaning in the street. Both of them apply the swords back into the sashes, and Usagi says, now, do we have your permission to travel through your territory? Oh, my head, says the leader. Or do we need to discuss this more? Usagi says as he steps up to dude. No, you can travel through as much as you like. Thank you. Now get out of here. Next panel is them running off. Yukichi, do you want to finish our meal? No, I've lost my appetite. Yeah, he says, me too. Villagers are laughing. Wow, look at them run. Ha, it's about time somebody stood up to those troublemakers. Usagi gives the innkeeper money for the trouble, actually paying for the tea, maybe a little bit more for the meal they didn't have the chance to eat. Thank you, samurai. The two, Yukichi and Usagi, continue walking. You'll both regret embarrassing us in our own town, says that leader with one of his henchmen there beside him, again, leaning up against a wall in an alleyway as they look all menacingly at the backs of Usagi and Yukichi. Next page is what I will presume is the cover of issue 21. I'm not sure yet. I don't remember what the cover looks like. Then the next page, what's with the pineapples? So bear with me here a moment, guys. Astute reader Michael Forsch, had noticed there were a lot of pineapples showing up in the Usagi stories and asked what that was about. Back in 2018, I was visiting my parents in Hawaii. Months earlier, my older brother Ed, hey, that's my name, but I'm not his older brother, had planted a pineapple crown in their front yard, and it had grown, stalked, and ripened, so I cut it off. If you've never had stalk-ripened pineapple, you're missing out. It's very sweet, juicy, and not stringy at all, unlike the store-bought varieties can be. Anyway, it was delicious, and we all enjoyed it. It got me thinking about pineapples in Usagi's time, and I found out that it was unknown in Japan at the turn of the 17th century. I was just starting on The Art of the Hidden, Part 1, and thought it might be fun to put a pineapple in one of the panels in every chapter. Now, if I recall, I believe that Hidden was the last storyline that he did for Dark Horse. 6 to 8 books, I think. And then he went over to IDW. There were pineapples hidden in all 7 parts of that story. When I moved to IDW, I continued the pineapple tradition with the exception of a couple issues of The Return. I just forgot, he says. However, they're back. I later was told that pineapples also appeared in episodes of the TV series Psych. I saw a couple episodes, but except for Tom Omundsen's performance, it never appealed to me. Anyway, have fun on your pineapple scavenger hunt. Then there's 3 pictures here. One of pineapple on stalk, one of Stan holding pineapple cut off stalk, and one of the pineapple cut in half. Next page. Again, bear with me, folks, as I read to you. John J. Murakami is a freelance cartoonist born and raised in Hawaii. He's best known for his line of Lokokaine greeting cards, which depict humorous occasions and holidays in Hawaii. And there's a picture of Usagi jumping at a sword drawn with the Japanese painting of the tidal wave, which the name escapes me, kind of imitated in the background behind him. His regular comic strips include Calabash with the Honolulu Star Advertiser newspaper, Generation Gap with the Hawaii Herald, and What's Up Wasabi in Wasabi. Additionally, John illustrated several Hawaiian children's picture and board books, including Gecko's Slide and Peek, and self-publishes comic books entitled Gordon Rider, Edda Mame Ninjas, two words, but they're the same phrase, Edda Mame Ninjas, The Era Rangers, and Adventures with Zori. Next page is an ad for the Homecoming trade paperback. Inside back cover is Usagi Yojimbo, Stan Sakai contact information. And back cover is a full color ad for Chibi Usagi, Attack of the Hebe Chibis, which was out approximately the same time this issue was, June of 2021. And so there we go. Our Dramatis Personae, as if you couldn't remember, having just listened to me talk about them for the last 25 minutes, were Miyamoto Usagi, Yukichi Yamamoto. Those were the primary protagonists. Itsuki and Daido also played a part in Word Only. Well, Itsuki in flashback, but not. Loaning to? Yeah, that's not the right word. But they are the motivation for what Yukichi is doing in that he was journeying when he met Usagi. And then the Daikanyaki students were the main antagonists. You have the innkeeper. So the words samurai and sensei, which are both familiar to listeners of the podcast and probably anyone that has followed any of the Japanese media that has made its way over here to the West, much less the actual original media from Eastern countries. Next time out, guys, looks like I will be reading and commentarying for you to listen to Usagi Yojimbo Volume 3, issue number 63 from Dark Horse Comics. Ever onward, my friends. Talk to you next time. Ciao.